We're going to, I'm temporarily chair. I think you're on this committee.
But you don't have a pool.
No, I won't do it for now.
Okay, is Mr. Katz not on this committee?
He's not.
Well, then how come they have that on the thing?
Penobi Weezer and Ripley Thomas.
I know, but I'm just reading my thing in the front of me.
That was a little loud.
He's not on the committee.
No, I
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, so we don't have a quorum. We have two items before us. One is a receive and file informational item that does not require any action. And the other is a one that will require action. I personally am not going to be voting on this item. I'd rather go to the full board. So I think we can still begin the process of having our informational items heard. Okay, Mr. Weezer is here. So we now can establish a quorum. All right, so let's move with item number one, which is our capital management report. Sir.
Good morning, Madam Chair and the members of the committee. This is to give you a status on all the projects and the significant issues associated with each one of them.
You need somebody to help you push the button over there? Maybe somebody could step up and help you. We'll do it that way.
Sorry,
that's
about
even
that.
Better.
This one is just to give you a status on the Boucher Street shop. The job is all completed. The most important item here is to let you know that this job was completed under budget and on schedule.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Metro Orange Line Extension, we have the only issue at this time other than the work that's proceeding is the agreement with the City of LA regarding the landscape maintenance. We have a bikeway and City has informed us that they do not have the resources to maintain the landscape anymore. So we are working with them to see if we can do some hardscaping and still provide the bikeway. On the I-405 Sepulveda Pass improvements, we are moving forward with the freeway realignment in order not to relocate the 96-inch water main. We have some issues both with the Getty people as well as the Caltrans. We are trying to resolve that. So the other issue is this relocation of the Skirball ramp. We engaged an independent consultant to look at the study and recommendation done by the City of LA. They have concluded the recommendation is in accord with all the issues involved at the Skirball, so we are proceeding ahead with that. We still have issues with the city support because of the layoffs and the retirements that they have. We are trying to work with the City of LA to see how they can provide us the support not to delay the project. Right-of-way issues with the GSA and VA is a problem. We are trying to work it out, and we are getting a lot of help from the elected officials on that. Mulholland Bridge redesign is essentially proceeding ahead with that. What we are trying to do is retain the existing bridge till we build a new one so that we do not disturb the local traffic. It's a significant traffic issue. It looks like we are reaching an agreement with everybody on that. The last one is the latest schedule from the contractor shows a 2 months delay because of the issues identified above. We are trying to mitigate them and get the project on schedule.
Can I ask you a question on that before you move on? On the issue of redesign on Mulholland Drive, is very much similar to the bridge issue. Again, what kind of a time frame? Are you going to keep the electeds at a time frame? I mean, right now, this delay is already costing money, and if we don't make it up soon, it's going to get further delayed, and it's creating a disruption for all people who travel on the 405.
Sure.
So on the Mulholland redesign, do you have a time frame? Otherwise, it's going to continue to get delayed.
Yeah. The bridge is essentially, design is 90% complete at this point.
I understand, but the electeds have not signed off on it.
That is correct.
Did you give them a time frame of when they will sign off?
It's supposed to be by March 15th. That's
I know it's supposed to be. It's a different thing. Will they sign off? Otherwise, what you're doing is that this is adding delay. They need to know that their delay is costing the 405 money and time frame, and then later on we're going to have a problem with those same people breathing down our throats.
Absolutely. We will take care of that. We'll make sure of that.
So at next month's meeting in February,
I will
ask you about that same question. Hopefully you'll have a better answer then.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. On the regional connector transit corridor, we have the FTA approval. As David Ayle reported in the previous meeting, we are continuing with our advanced conceptual engineering. Also, we are doing a very robust value engineering on that project. West Side Subway Extension, we are moving our staff as well as the consultant staff into a new location, which is an integrated project management office, and we just also received the FTA approval on that. And the next is the Exposition Light Rail Project. We have Mr. Olson here to make the presentation.
Thank you. On phase one of the project, we are still looking at substantial completion by our contractor for his baseline scope the end of June of this year. There's several items that we're looking at closely to make sure that we can meet this date, which includes a ventilation system for the trench structure, the automatic train protection, and the blue line tie-in work, and the LA DOT approval of traffic signal designs and controllers. As well as completing the storage facility. What we're looking at now is a storage facility will follow a little bit later. We're going to actually take that out of our design build contractor's contract and do that outside of the contract. So that will not affect substantial completion. So we're continuing to work towards that to make a substantial completion happen in June. This design build baseline scope does not include the terminus station at Culver City, which was added later to the contract, and also doesn't include Farmdale Station, so those two will follow after substantial completion for the design build baseline contract in June of 2010. There's also several outstanding contract packages that we need to finalize and negotiate in order to make sure we can come and deliver the project within the overall project budget. We're actually going to take these pieces again and take them outside of our design-build contractor's contract and contract these separately, again, in an effort to reduce the costs associated with them. The storage facility, which we're completing design of, Farmdale Station, and also the remaining work in Culver City associated with the completion of the Culver City station itself. On phase two, we still are working through the legal challenge of our CEQA document. We did receive a favorable interim decision from the court a couple of months ago, but that's still going through the legal process, and we still need to get that finalized. In addition, we've received the proposals from our design build contractors. We're going through the evaluation and hope to go to our board next month with a recommendation for a best value contractor with the hopes for an award of the contract in March of this year. So that concludes my presentation on Expo.
That concludes the entire report.
Madam
yes.
Chair.
All right. Any question or comment?
Just maybe to supplement the last comment made. We are nearing the end of, we hope, negotiations with the Expo Authority for a funding agreement and cooperative plan that basically mirrors what we did with the Foothill project some months ago. We've asked that the award not be made until we have that funding agreement with the MTA board, approved by the MTA board. We've also transmitted to the Expo Authority a format for a monthly report on project status, which Rick Thorpe has taken and is going to be looking at and has tentatively agreed to. We will commence bringing those to the board as well with MTA staff comments as to issues that may be arising as the project advances.
So this is a funding agreement?
Funding and cooperative agreement.
Let me ask you a question. In the blue line, what was it called? original, the Gold Line, the Foothill. When we did that agreement, as well as now what we're proposing to do with the extension, did that include liability responsibilities?
On Foothill 1, the initial segment, I don't think there was, or Expo 1, I don't think there's really detailed agreements on the...
It didn't include liabilities at that time?
On Gold Line 2, I don't recall right offhand. We can find out.
I think it did.
Hi.
Hi,
I'm Joyce Chang with County Council. I had worked on the Gold Line funding agreement for Phase 2, and there is indemnities and insurance language in that master cooperative agreement.
And I think that we've just sort of not been doing that. And if we're going to do that in Expo, I think that
we do plan to include that for the Phase 2 Expo master cooperative agreement.
But, so the funding agreement is only for Phase 2?
Yes. There's Phase 2 funding and then Phase 2 master cooperative.
And the first part is Phase 1 has no agreement?
Phase 1 has an existing agreement.
And does it have liability?
It did not.
That's what I thought. That's what I'm saying. I think that we need to be consistent across the board. I'm sorry.
We're also amending the Phase 1 MOU. We can add that language in this next round.
Out of the same budget, that sort of would be impossible. I mean, I'd be happy with it, but, right? Wouldn't it be impossible?
I don't think it's a high probability outcome.
But I'm just saying that as we move forward, when we have these kinds of funding agreements, they should be consistent. You shouldn't expect one side of town to do it differently from the other side of town. Amen. And I'm seeing that that is the case here.
Yes.
That's why I'm asking the question now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. In fact, I will argue that the processes that we apply to the construction authority should apply to MTA managed projects as well. We're all for the very good same reasons.
Well, yeah, I think that anybody who is quote an authority that is involved in making decisions about a project, if they never have any responsibility for the outcome of the liabilities of it, they can make decisions all day long, which is I think what's going on in Expo. That unfortunately we, as you know, the deep pocket, end up paying for it, which means that we take it out of another project to put it into this project. So I think those are tough issues to wrestle with, but I think the realities that have to be put in place.
Sure.
Madam Chair, I have two more. One is the report on the Foothill. Chris Werner will give you an update. And then I have a presentation on the oversight of the construction authorities.
All right. So before you move forward, and this is a report only, on item number two, I have to get going to a meeting, but I did want to move it forward to the larger board. We don't have the capability of voting for it now anyway. So is that satisfactory?
Yes.
All right, so we can continue with the reports. Thank you,
Thank
sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Chris, go ahead. This will be the report on the Foothill update.
Good morning. There are two significant items that need to be resolved as we move forward to awarding our contract. We've made significant progress on both of these items since the last committee meeting. Metro has reached an agreement in principle with BNSF to discontinue the freight service, approximately 5 miles of freight service that needs to be discontinued for our project. Metro and County Council are working on executing the written agreement that will resolve that issue. We hope that that is resolved by the end of the month. So that is on track and moving forward. The environmental clearance of the maintenance and operations facility was actually certified by our board this Tuesday. And the documents were filed with the county yesterday, so the 30-day protest period will end approximately April 18th. So I think that's all I have, unless there are any questions.
Whoa. Chair, are you gonna?
Any question or comments?
Thank you.
This presentation has to do with the managing and providing the oversight of the two construction authorities. I think in late 2010, board approved us to go ahead with the project management information system implementation program, which we have done that. The pilot project, we already have the orange line on running on it. The state law provides the responsibility for awarding and managing the design and construction contracts to the construction authorities. This is the Foothill as well as the Exposition. The funding agreement and the master cooperative agreement are the two tools that we use how to make these projects come on time and on schedule. But we do need to improve our oversight on them much more in order to give you a timely information as to where these projects are at any given time. The scope, budget, and schedule are instruments that we use through the definition in the cooperative agreement, and the funding comes from the long-range transportation plan that we already have, and the budget is defined as the total project cost in the cooperative agreement. Milestone for schedule and performance is also in the funding agreement that we have. Scope description is as defined in the agreement. Environmental impact reports are adopted by their individual boards, as well as our board will get to see those. Baseline documents are the ones that we use for measuring the performance, which will have the confirmed contract documents and also will include any change orders that come by. MTA has a responsibility in the cooperative agreement to provide design reviews, inspection. We have the rights to inspection, but we do not have a permanent staff out there looking at everything that's being done. We have obligation to do some testing, individual testing, and then of course we need to make sure that the safety certification and final acceptance is according to our standards and criteria. Both MTA and Construction Authority have the right to identify the changes. Of course, we have a dispute resolution process identified in the cooperative agreement. One of the big things is the finding the information on a timely basis. So what we are asking both the authorities, these are, by the way, same as what we do for our projects and report to you on a regular basis. So we want to make sure that the monthly project status report that the authorities provide us has all these elements, their progress and the funds they have used, where are they in compared to their milestone progress, as well as the cost defined, funds committed to and forecast at completion, their schedule updates, any major problems, or any schedule impact within the 90 days, look ahead, and then of course issues associated with quality, safety, and operational issues which materially deviate from our criteria. We have to maintain and operate these systems when we take over, so it is an extremely important issue for us. And also any proposed solutions and actions requiring the Construction Authority Board activity. So currently this is what we are getting from the Foothill. This is based on several discussions we had with the Foothill Authority. And this will be on a real-time basis and will be available to the management to review on a regular basis. This will give you all the information that you need as to the status of the project, where the funding is and what the progress is, and any issues related with the project will be identified. I apologize for the font because of the material is so much. It's a small font. I'll be glad to give you a report. The objective of this whole thing is to provide enhanced oversight of the construction authority projects. So we don't have to later on go visit and find out why it did not happen and why it took so long, etc. And also to provide the visibility of ongoing events early enough to proactively manage outcomes and protect Metro's interests. Number three, to provide transparency into sources of potential problem through
detail. I assume by, when you say talk about Metro's interest, we're talking about trying to avoid situations where we wind up getting stuck with the bill at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
By getting involved earlier with them more directly, so we don't run into what we're dealing with in some of our other construction authorities.
Absolutely. Because of the pressures of budget and schedule, they may want to do some changes to the contract implementation, which may not be in the best interest of our overall operations and maintenance. So we want to know that earlier on. And allow Metro staff to report the status and trends and open issues on a timely basis. One of the main requirements in order for us to give you all this information on a timely basis is to all this information on the budgets, commitments and changes, billings and expenditures, risk management, all documents submitted to us on a regular CMI process, and then summary and control of schedules. We need all this information and access to this information, so that way we can keep you apprised of what's happening and where we are with these projects. And summary of all of this would be, it will provide the same level of oversight that we are providing to all of our Metro projects. It does require the use of the project management information system that we are doing, and it also helps us to receive timely information on project status, and then of course we will receive the advance notice, so in order that changes are not in violation of our requirements. So that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Board Member Katz, any questions?
No, I'm good, thank you.
No questions. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Next item is our item number 3. That is the CEO update. Excuse me.
I just wanted to say that last week we retired our last diesel bus. We don't have any more diesels. We now operate the largest CNG fleet in the world. So all CNG fleets.
Congratulations to everyone. That's a huge achievement. Thank you very much. And unless there's any other questions, this meeting will be adjourned. Okay.